Here we go. The word Mary, M-E-R-R-Y. Things have been difficult over these years. You sometimes think to yourself, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, is a good Proverbs verse, and a merry heart giveth good countenance, and things like that. And we realize that Paul never uses the word Mary, so we looked in the Bible to see that Mary has to do with physical happiness, I suppose, or something, just physical joy to you, whatever the word would be. Eat, drink, and be merry, and all the different examples in the Bible about Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, were in a physical fashion. So Paul, being the fact that we're in the kingdom of God, you know, the physical life that we lead will be rewarded or burnt, whatever, in the judgment seat. For us to be physically merry is not really that important. Shouldn't be. But, you know, a good meal tastes good and makes your body good, and a good sunshiny day. I mean, we have our physical day-to-day reality of life, but I'm afraid more and more people are going to concentrate just on the reality of life instead of still the spiritual aspect of the reality of life, which is eternity. And that is a legitimate thing. It's in the Bible. We believe the Bible to be the Word of God. And so it is still important. And Paul tells us to be sober-minded, tells us all different ages to be sober. And that really isn't being merry, party-wise, gaiety, just having a great old grand old time. These are serious things we're dealing with for our children, for our grandchildren, for our neighbors, for ourselves, that we're not caught up by another Jesus, and you've heard all these different things, most of you have, by following a wrongly divided Bible. So we got into the fact that Paul did mention, he does mention the word happy twice, and the first time he mentions happy, it's in the fact that he's happy to be able to give his testimony to somebody, answer of the charges that were against him. That makes him happy to be able to talk to people about that. And then the other time he uses the word happy, it's when he, in the doubtful disputation chapter, Romans 14, where he says that somebody out there that's doing some things that you're with, and you wouldn't do those things, and you know that actually doesn't please God, but these folks are weak in the faith, they don't understand all these things yet, and God says, listen, don't with your meat destroy the work of God. God's working on this guy and this person in due time. He says, happy is that we don't want to condemn ourselves because we allowed that. Just because we didn't say something to somebody doesn't mean that we failed our job as a Christian. Now, there's times we should say something. We've talked about that. Grace, mercy, long-suffering, patience, all these different things that we have, prayer, tears, all those things. But there does come a time where we need to say something. And that's a whole other series of sermons. When it affects you, when it causes somebody to stumble, or your children to stumble, or if your children out, there's ways of dealing with that sort of a thing. But still, we have to be careful that we don't condemn ourselves for being around something else or somebody else that doesn't understand yet, and there's no point of condemning yourself because you didn't say something, if the timing is that's the way it is. So Paul talks about that. Otherwise, Paul just talks about a joy. Now, the afternoon service, we did a short 26-minute one, I think, which is one of my shorter ones, and we talked about be of good cheer. Paul talks about, be of good cheer. God told Paul to be of good cheer. He said to those guys on the ship that the ship was wrecking, the storm was there, and it was all falling apart. And he said, be of good cheer. He believes what God has said. So we ought to be of good cheer because we believe what God has said in a rightly divided Bible. So things like that we talked about this afternoon. Now tonight, we're going to go back to some of the verses that I had written down this morning and that I didn't cover. The verses I pretty much covered on this morning dealt with Paul and him. And his joy. And his joy was mostly based on his people. He would teach his people some things. He would try to show them some things. His joy was in the fact that they were going to grow from it, and that their joy gave him his joy. His joy gave him their joy. That type of thing. And one of the things I hope I can get back to my own life is a joy and a happiness, that, like Paul talks about there, in the day-to-day living with people. And a lot of that has kind of gone away. As I mentioned this morning, being a Paul pastor, you get more involved with the details in people's lives than you do as a Great Commission pastor. All they want to do is get people saved, get a building going, and not that all saving is still an important thing, but that's all they do. They have a birth, they have somebody supposedly get born again, as they say, which is an incorrect term, and then they starve them to death. Don't ever feed them anything after that. So that's tough, too. So tonight we're going to look at verses that deal with us as people, not going through what Paul got his joy, but these are for some of these things that have to do with people. For example, let's go back, let's go to Acts 13, 52. We did that one this morning, but I want to point it out again. Acts 13, 52, One of the things about rightly dividing when you're with Paul is you've got to realize that in Paul's day, they didn't have the Bible like we have today. In 1 Corinthians 13:10, that which is perfect is come, and I'll stand forever and say that that has to be the King James Bible, not just the Bible, because it wasn't done. It wasn't finished. But now it's finished. It's to its place. And because of that, when we read Acts 13:52, it says the disciples were filled with joy. Okay, with all the things that took place before that, the dust of the feet went off. They're filled with joy. So our joy today isn't going to come to us magically while we're sleeping and all that kind of stuff from God. We're going to get it from our Bible. And I just wanted to mention that one more time. You want to be filled with joy? You know, that joy comes from God. Well, God's going to speak to us, give us these things through that Bible. So I just had to kind of start off with that first one there. Now let's go here to Acts chapter 15. And we see in verse 1, looking at joy. Not merry, not happy, not even cheer. We're looking at a joy. Again, it comes from God through our Bible. And as we read here, let's see what it says about joy tonight for us. Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men which came from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, because you hear something like that, they jumped into the discussion very quickly, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. It's just like when you tell somebody about Paul, they say, well, you know, I think we better go talk to our pastor about this. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. And I like that, all things that God had done with them. God had done them, but he did them with those, with the apostles, with those guys. And it caused great joy unto all their brethren. So that went from a bad thing in verse 1 to a joyful thing in verse 3. Now look at Acts chapter 20, verse 24. We'll look at this one. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Again, this is about Paul, but you'll see why I want to mention this one for us. But none of these things move me, the challenges that he had there. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. Now, if we could ever say that ourselves, we would do a much better job of our pastoring or witnessing or whatever, if we would neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. There's Paul's ministry. There's our ministry today to testify the gospel of the grace of God, the risen Savior through Paul. It's the only place you hear it like that. And if he were to stick with that, which he did, he put himself not as the most important person in his life. He was able to finish his course with joy and finish his ministry with joy. And that ministry was given to him by Jesus Christ, face-to-face, Galatians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I think it is. I mean, he received it of the Lord Jesus, just like it says. I don't know why people reject that. They don't understand that Christ, the risen Savior, did speak to Paul and teach him these things. And we're just learning what Christ taught to Paul, and he's passing it on to us, and today through a King James Bible. Okay, so there's that one. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. So Paul was able to finish his course, his ministry, with joy, and the ministry was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's what we need to do, the grace of God. Not so we can do everything kind of a thing. We know that in Romans chapter 6. Look at Romans chapter 5 here, verse 8. Do another one. Romans chapter 8. Now we're going to read a lot of verses here. There's a lot in this, but I want you just to see the phrase joy in God. But to get that total meaning out of joy in God, let's read a bunch of verses here, starting with verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Then we thought, then he's got these good connecting words, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, parentheses, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Do you think right away Romans chapter 10, maybe 3 and 4 right in there, Christ took care of the law, so there is no sin to be imputed? Anyway, that takes us back to the joy, our joy in God for what he did today. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was a figure of him that was to come, that would be Christ, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so was the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Back and forth, Adam and Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men in condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men into justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offenses might abound. But for sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness, which is his, by the way, through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now what's that all about? That's about in verse 11 where it says, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's all the things that he had done. Adam did what he did, but Jesus Christ did what he did. And through him, we have that joy. We can have that joy in God. We joy in God through Jesus Christ. Okay, here's a bunch for you to think about there. Let's go here to Romans chapter 15. Do another one here. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, you've got to have a King James 1611 Bible to realize that. Otherwise, you're going to be a Pentecostal or just a... Everybody seems to be talking that God is just going to kind of give you all this stuff out of the blue. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that this stuff comes through the power of the Holy Ghost through his written word today. That which is perfect has come. So, if you want to have that hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, what do you believe? Well, you believe in Christ. Well, how do you know that? Your Bible. How do you know what this Christ has done for you? Through your Bible. How do you get that joy? Through your Bible. You keep reading these things. Your faith will get stronger. Remember it said this morning, is joy and faith. Joy of faith. So, your faith gets stronger, your joy gets stronger. It all comes from hearing the Word of God. Which, by the way, is why there's going to be a famine of it during the tribulation. Just a thought. Well, let's go on here. Let's go here to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4, here we go. Great is my boldness. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorifying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Now, we could stop there. But he says, here's what he says after he says, I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Here's what he says. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Now we've been over this before. Read the book of Titus. You should be comforted and have joy from that, but we'll skip that tonight. Although I did just say it one more time. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he, meaning Titus, was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, that's Paul, so that I rejoice the more. So Paul is having an exceeding joyful in the tribulation because he also has somebody else coming in and teaching some things to some people who are excited about it and they like it, and they actually get Titus comforted, and because Titus finds out that these folks are desiring to hear from Paul, which gives Paul the joy. Understand that. For though I made you sorry with a letter in verse 8, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us and nothing. He's preaching a hard message to some people, and they're getting it. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold the selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, in all things ye have reproved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for this cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong. Wasn't for either one of the two people involved in this thing. It was, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Paul wanted these people to know that they cared. That's all. Didn't want to go after the guy that did whatever it was. Doesn't want to go after the guy that was hurt by the thing. He said, listen, we care. And God cares. That kind of a thing. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. His spirit was refreshed by the people, by you all. For if I boasted anything to him of you, I'm not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. About the truth there. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling he received. Titus had some pretty tough things to talk about. That's sound doctrine, chapter 2 and chapter 3. So they remember the obedience, how with fear and trembling you received him. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. So here's Paul. He comes along, he gets to preach to these guys, preach something hard. Titus comes along, preaches something to them, and teaches them these things. And Paul's joy is exceedingly joyful, because the people are willing to hear and willing to try to change their lives. So even though we're not talking about just Paul tonight, we're talking about the people must have had some kind of joy and comfort in there and know that their lives were changing, and it was pleasing to Paul. And he says in verse 11, the carefulness, clearing of themselves, indignation, fear, vehement desire, zeal, all those things came upon their lives. And none of this was brought about by any flesh, by any music, by any vain words and fair speeches and personalities of the people that Paul had. From what we've read in the Bible, Paul had zero personality, and nobody followed Paul because of who Paul was. Looks like the Lord took care of that one. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, let's look at verse 3. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. I mean, he's requesting, he's praying for you, he's doing it with joy. And now let's go past this and let's see what it is that he's praying with joy for these people. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident, Paul was very confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Now we know it's not Paul's grace, it's the grace that Paul has as well from Christ. For God is my record, he says, how greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. So what is he longing for? Why does he pray for these people? What is he praying? Verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That's what he's after with people, is to get them to realize that they can make some decisions in their life and make some changes in their lives. And as I can see it, the word change is not taking place in churches today, other than the churches are changing from the truth to get into some of this modern stuff. Acts chapter 2, which has been over 1,000 times. So they're not asking for people to change. They're changing the church. And that's too bad that the churches are changing and the people aren't, because it's supposed to be the people that change, not the church. The local assembly crowd. Okay, here we go. Oh, let's go to another one here. Let's go here to, just get on to verse 25 of the same chapter. Here Paul talks again about his confidence, and this is why he has the joy he has. He's confident in his people. He says, verse 25, let's go to verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So here we got Paul ready to die, ready to go be with the Lord. But if I live in the flesh, and now he's talking about just he's alive inside his body, not like Romans 6, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, you'd rather go be with the Lord. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you with all your for your furtherance, and here it is, joy of faith. He says that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul will stay. He's confident that what he has to show them, they will get, and their lives will change. They'll have the furtherance and joy of faith. Then he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That's all your life should represent. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Wouldn't that be good? He says in verse 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, meaning they don't think you're saved if you're getting harassed like you are, but to you of salvation and that of God. Because he says right here, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me. Same things happening to them as it happened to Paul. But people say, or a lot of people say, I've got this Bible, I've got the King James Bible, I'm glad to divide this thing, I love God and God loves me, I learned all these things. How come things are so horrible? Where's your faith? Where's your confidence? Where's your joy? It's tough. I'll be the front of the line for those fears and worries that this world puts upon us, puts upon our flesh, and we let those things rule us. Okay, so he has a joy, and he talked about the joy of faith. Let's go to the last one here. Let's go down to Colossians chapter 2. No, there's two more to go yet. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 2. Let's go look at verse 1. And he says, for I would that ye knew what great conflict, in a great conflict, it really bothered him, I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. A lot of people have never met Paul, never heard Paul. And he says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, now here's why he's saying all this, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. We quit. We give up on Paul. We give up on the Bible. We give up on God. We give up on living the life to please God because we're enticed by somebody's words. Either it's commercials, it's what somebody else has, it's what somebody else says to us, it's what we see going on with other people. They're enticing us to go their way. You see somebody change in a bad way or maybe in a good way physically, and that's enticing to you to get you to want to be that way or to be what they're doing or go where they're going or buy what they're buying or have what they have. And you're being enticed. You're being seduced. And he's saying these things because he says, listen, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, because he's not there with these people, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding what? Your order and the steadfastness of your life in Christ. If somebody has an order, they're in control of their life and steadfastness of your faith. So he beholds their order and their steadfastness of their faith in Christ. and he doesn't worry about them. They will not be enticed. And he says in verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Okay, you've got Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've got a King James Bible. You understand rightly divided. Now, let's read through those things. Let's understand the joy of the no law, all things are lawful. Let's understand the liberty, and let's live those things that we can live to please God, yet we're going to fight our mind all the time, we're going to fight our flesh all the time. But he does say, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, he just tells them, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And again, it goes back to joy. Joying and beholding your order. So what is it that caused Paul some joy? These people have their lives in order, and they're living, they have a steadfastness of faith. And that should cause us a joy as well. Okay, one more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. One more tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And it's verse 6. There are a couple things in here. First, we'll just read the verse. And ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Okay, again, the joy comes from the Holy Ghost. The joy comes from God. We want to get some joy, we got to get it from our book, because that's how we hear from God. That's where it's going to take place. But I also wanted you to see where it says at the beginning of that verse, and ye became followers of us, okay, Paul and his crew, and of the Lord. See, people still don't get that when we talk about Paul's teachings, we're still talking about the teachings of the risen Savior. That's all this is. So, yes, we follow Paul, and yet it also says, and of the Lord. We're following Paul by what he teaches. In all reality, we're truly following the Lord because he told Paul what to teach. Makes sense. That's another good verse. Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that's Paul, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's Jesus Christ, that's the risen Savior according to the revelation of the mystery, that's according to Paul's books, not according to the teachings of the gospels. That makes that very clear there. Paul makes that very clear. And then 2 Timothy 1 says it again. 2 Timothy 1:8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Okay, there's Jesus Christ. There is following the Lord, the risen Savior. He also says, nor of me his prisoner. So there again, we're taught to follow Paul and the Lord, which are really following the same teachings. And if we do that, it says back in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, having received the word, that's the King James Bible, in much affliction, which it is getting that way, it says, with the joy of the Holy Ghost. So our joy still comes from this Bible. We don't get merry because of our Bible. We're happy because we can talk to people about our testimony, what Christ has done in Paul's thing. And we're happy because we know what Christ has done with our sins and not have to worry about the weak that are in faith. You don't say something to somebody, you don't need to condemn yourself for it. But the joy comes from God. And Just put the sermon this morning and the sermon together tonight. Paul's concern is about joy, not being merry, not going to church to have a fun time, not going to church to sing up a storm and have a great time, liking the chord structure and the instrumentation and how the pianist plays the different arrangements of things, and the pastor's fun and entertaining, and he can get you to cry, he can get you to laugh, he can get you to, you know, all this, oh boy, church was sure fun tonight. Boy, yeah, that's not what Paul's concerned about. Home church is hard to be fun, but home church is a place where you can learn something, and you can preach, and you can sing, and praise the Lord, and yeah, that's what it's for. If you ever have any brethren, someday you might over in your places. Someday maybe we will. Who knows? But Paul's desire, Paul's concern is not to be merry. It's to have a joy from God.